you like to hear from God today?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 5. If you would like to hear from God today, open God's Word to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. Today, well, last week we looked and we talked about the diary of a lost man. Today we look and see the destruction of a lost man. Let's stand as we look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 18. Give you just a little bit of background. What has brought us to this point, if we go back and we'll elaborate on this more in just a moment. But in the first part of this chapter, King Belshazzar has seen a hand from God, or more specifically, fingers from heaven that have wrote a message on the wall of his palace. And he's asked all the wise men of his kingdom, what is this message that's written on the wall? And I want you to understand, this is not a vision. This really happened. There was a finger that appeared from heaven, and it wrote a message in the plaster of the wall. And so he searches all his wise men. What's the meaning of the message was his question, and nobody could tell him. Until he again finds Daniel. And Daniel's going to reveal to him what God wants him to know at this point. Daniel chapter 5, verse 18. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of gold and of silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him. And this was written. This is the inscription of each word. Meaning, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tikal, you've been weighed in the balance, found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Brother Michael Weatherford, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be in your house, to worship you, to read your word. Father, we pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning. Lord, as we consider what message that you gave to Belshazzar, as well as God, and you
Amen. You may be seated. What an awesome sight this must have been. I guess even beyond awesome, a frightening sight this must have been as the hand of God entered the throne room of the king and began to write on the wall. Previously, right before this, Belshazzar had made a feast. And this feast, it says, was made to honor his lords and the leaders of his government. And he invited, it says, 1,000 in the first part of this chapter. He invited 1,000 of his lords. They began to drink. And it says, while he tasted the wine, he commanded that the vessels be taken from the temple, or the vessels be brought to him that was taken from the temple in Jerusalem, that he and his lords may drink from them. Now, that word tasted, that's used in the first part of this chapter, I want you to understand it didn't mean he was sipping the wine. It means he was drinking the wine. And the literal word, the Hebrew word is he was in the wine. Meaning what? Belshazzar was drunk. And when he's feeling his oats, a boldness comes over him. And he demands that these vessels be brought that were God's vessels when they were in Jerusalem. And they began to drink as a blasphemous act against the God of the Jews. They began to drink from these vessels of the temple. Now let me tell you where this guy is at this point. I want you to understand the hardness of the heart of Belshazzar. According to history, the city of Babylon is under siege at this point. Okay? He's surrounded by the enemy. I've read, and again, this is history. I've read where they had already taken the countryside. So they basically owned the land, and the only thing that they hadn't taken yet was the city of Babylon. And one of the reasons they just haven't gotten that far in their conquest. But the city's surrounded. But Belshazzar sits in that walled city, and the walls are huge. The walls are 87 feet thick, 350 feet tall. Towers towering above that 100 feet. And so they feel very safe, and they kind of thumb their nose at the enemy, the Medes and the Persians who had surrounded him at this point. And as a matter of fact, he's so unconcerned about the enemy that he throws a party. And when maybe you and I would be on the walls guarding against the enemy, they're partying on the inside and getting drunk. And it's kind of like that mentality of, hey, I don't care what you do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what Belshazzar, he's sitting in that palace. His enemy are outside the walls, and his statement to them is, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. As he drinks from the vessels from the temple of Jerusalem, he's declaring, I'm going to do what I want to do. God, there's nothing you can do about it. You see the boldness and the brazen in this man. Ah, but this king went and stepped over the line. As he's drinking from these vessels that were taken from the temple at Jerusalem, a finger appears. Now imagine, if you will, a man filled with boldness. His finger appears. And literally, this is not a vision, I want you to understand. Other people saw this, and when Daniel comes in to interpret what this finger wrote, this was still on the wall. This literal finger from God came in, and it begins to write. And as Belshazzar looks at this finger, his boldness leaves him. He's not such a tough guy anymore. As a matter of fact, it says his bones were loosened and his knees knocked together. He becomes so afraid as he sees this hand, much like probably you and I would today. He just becomes terrified to the point that he's trembling and he's shaking, and no longer does he have that attitude of I'm going to do what I'm going to do and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now, as you sit here today, I want to ask you, where are you with God? I've seen teenagers have that brazen attitude as they tell their parents, I'm going to do what I'm going to do because it's my life and I'll live it the way I want to live it. I've seen adults who choose a path of sin and decide that there's no room for God in their lives, and they say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and there's nothing that God can do about it. I've seen a nation, more specifically the United States of America, invite God to leave all public view, and those of our culture who consider themselves important back up and say, we are a nation no longer under God, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And I want to tell you today that there is no one beyond the reach of God. No one. Even this king, Belshazzar, as he watches the finger write the message into the wall, and the message is, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Message that nobody could read. The king begins to tremble in fear. He knows this can't be good. And he calls for all of his wise men. And he offers them a reward. If you can just read this message and tell me what it means. If you can just read it and tell me what it means. I'll give you, you will become third leader in the kingdom. Just tell me what the message means. And everybody looks at the message. All the wise men looks at the message. And they say, we don't know. The king continues to tremble. To the point that he's losing. Have you ever been that scared? He's losing it. And so the queen approaches the king. And she says, it's okay. Just relax. There's a man. His name is Daniel. And when your father Nebuchadnezzar was having dreams and visions, he would call this Daniel because the Spirit of the Most High God was in him. And he could tell your father Nebuchadnezzar what the dreams meant. And she said, call him. So of course, she calls Daniel. And Daniel comes in. And it's offered to him. Daniel, if you will tell us what this writing on the wall means, Daniel, please tell us. And if you will, you will be the third ruler in all the kingdom. I love Daniel's response. He says, you keep your gifts. Give your rewards to somebody else. But I'll tell you the dream. See, the interesting part to that is Daniel knew there was nothing that this king could give him. Nothing that this king could give him that was worth anything, because this king's days are indeed numbered. And so Daniel says, Belshazzar, you should have learned a lesson from the past. You see, Belshazzar, I'll give you the interpretation to the writing on the wall, but first, you had a father. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom. And you remember what we preached about last week. And he goes back over it with Belshazzar here. And he says, because of the majesty that God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar, and because of the excellence, he did whatever he wanted. He killed, executed whoever he wanted to execute. He kept alive whoever he wanted to keep alive. He lifted up anybody he wanted to lift up, and he tore down anybody he wanted to tear down. He had absolute power until he was filled with pride. You know what pride does to you, right? Until he was filled with pride, and then Belshazzar, your father, was driven out into the field like a beast. And for 7 years, your father ate grass like a beast. He lived outside, and the dew of heaven fell upon him like a beast. For 7 years, Belshazzar, that's what your father Nebuchadnezzar dealt with. And he said, Belshazzar, you knew. You knew. And even though you knew, you have been filled with pride, and you've lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven and your people, and you have drunk wine from the vessels of the Lord. You've praised the God of silver and of gold and of bronze and of iron and wood and stone, which do not see or do not hear. You knew everything, Belshazzar. And you have completely thumbed your nose at the God who's given you the kingdom. The God who holds your very breath in His hand. And owns all your ways. You have not glorified. So now, here's what you need to understand. God has now spoken, and you're about to lose it all. You know, as I looked at this point, and I thought to myself, what are the lessons that we should learn from the past? From those that have gone before us, that, you know, I've always heard those who do not learn from history are bound to repeat it. You know, one of the lessons I have learned from the past? Everybody dies. Everybody dies. As a matter of fact, everybody to this point that I know, you know, in my family tree, have gone on to be with the Lord. Except my dad, he's still here, you know. But everybody comes to the same end. It's appointed unto man once to die. And it's amazing to me that while we're growing up, while we're teenagers, we back up and we think, boy, we're bulletproof. No, you're not. No, you're not. Then we grow into adulthood and we get to thinking when we're in our 20s, and maybe this is just me, but this is me when I was 20. I had it all figured out. If you wanted the answer, just ask me. I had one. It didn't matter the subject. Then I hit 40. Things begin to hurt and fall apart a little bit. And I thought, maybe I'm not as tough as I thought I was. 50 was like jumping off a cliff, I'll be honest with you. Then everything started to hurt and there was no reason for it. And I really figured out, you know what's happening to me is I'm dying. I am dying. Oh, I've not been diagnosed with anything. My problem is I've been diagnosed with a terminal case of sin. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. I'm headed that direction. I know it's coming. And if Jesus Christ does not come back, one of these days they will lay me in the ground. You see, that's why it's so important to live like you're dying. Because you're not bulletproof. One of these days you'll leave this life and you will stand before the judgment of a holy God. And what's going to be your answer when God asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? I will tell you. And you may say, well, I was a member of every social club. God's going to say, I don't care. You may say, I did good when I was here. I raised money for the children and the cancer associations, and I did all this. And God's going to say, that's not good enough. For you see, you had a sin problem that you did not deal with while you were on this earth. That's why it's so important. Today, I challenge you. The handwriting is on the wall. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Read the writing. It's there. Belshazzar didn't learn anything from his father. And so it brought him to this point as Daniel reveals the dream to him. He says, you should have learned from the past, Belshazzar, because you didn't learn from the past, you've lost the present. The fingers, Belshazzar, that you've seen were sent from God Himself. The God who holds your very breath in His hand. You do realize your next breath comes from God, right? The only thing standing between you and death is the grace of God. Will He give you another breath? Belshazzar, the finger was sent from the God who holds your breath in His hand. This is what you saw. This is what you see on the wall. Many, which means to count or to count out. Tikal, which was a measurement of weight. You see, here's the picture. God says in this message, Belshazzar, I've counted your kingdom. I've looked at your kingdom. I've assessed your kingdom. And I've set it on the scales of my judgment. You see, this was actually money terms, right? They would count money. Not only just like we do. Well, I was going to get, I don't have any, right? But they would count their coins. Count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, when they were doing a financial exchange. But you know what they would also do? They would weigh those coins to prove their authenticity. So they would count them out on the scales oftentimes. One, and that one coin was supposed to weigh so much. If it didn't weigh so much, it had either been tampered with or it was a phony, right? So they would put it on the scales and they would continue to put that money on the scales until the scales would balance for the amount of money that was supposed to be there. Now imagine and picture this with me if you will. You've got a set of scales. And you've got a God that says, Belshazzar, I have looked at your kingdom and I put it on the scales of my judgment. I put it all on this side. And Belshazzar, you have been weighed and found wanting. It means he never balanced the scales. Think about that just a moment. The scales never balanced. So God says, I've weighed your kingdom and I've finished it. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, that's of course, the next kingdom that takes over. While all this is going on, old Cyrus is outside the city. He knows he's coming in tonight. He knows he's going to take that city, and guess what he does? According to history, Cyrus comes into Babylon and takes the city without a fight. He just takes it. You know why? Because God took it from Belshazzar and gave it to Cyrus and Darius, kings of the Medes and the Persians. Here's what I want you to get at this point. This message basically is geared toward lost people. You may be one of those people who've heard the gospel message 1,000 times. And you've sat through it and you say, yeah. And every time you hear about the gospel and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you just hear, wah. Here's what I want to tell you that's coming. It's the handwriting on the wall. You can back up and think you're bulletproof and will live forever, but you will not. When you put your life in the balance, God judges. On one side, you've got sin. Oh, Brother Doug, you're a hypocrite. Everybody has sin. Yes, we all do. And just because you're a sinner doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. It means you're human. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so this side is weighted down with sin. And you say, but brother, I'm a good person. I go to church. Well, let's put that on the scale. And you go to church. The scale never moves. Brother Doug, I help those who are less fortunate than me. Let's put that on the scale. The scale never moves. It stays right here. But Brother Doug, I give to good causes. Let's put that on the scale. Brother Doug, I'm a good neighbor. Let's put that on the scale. And you can stack whatever on that scale you want to stack, but that scale will never balance. Because you can never be good enough to earn your way to heaven. And until you take care of the sin that's weighing down the scale, my friend, heaven is not your home. But get this, there's only one way to take care of that sin, and that is the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says without blood there can be no forgiveness of sin. Something has to be done to pay the punishment, and you have to understand God has to judge and to punish sin. That's what Jesus was about. He took your punishment. As God looks at your sin and He looks at my sin, and he judges our sin. Jesus said, "I'll take Doug Hamburg's punishment." And you know what happened? And when I was 8 years old, 15 years ago, when I was 8 years old, I called upon Jesus Christ and asked forgiveness of my sin and asked Jesus to save me. And you know what happened? That unbalanced scale was taken up. And it wasn't only balanced. You see, the sin was taken off of this side. And it goes like this. I've experienced the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ who died for my sins. And because of that grace and that mercy that I have received, my sins are forgiven to be remembered no more. You see, the scales didn't balance. They went the other way because my sins were cast as far as east is from the west. What is your relationship with Jesus today? Oh, my friends, I believe more than ever we're living in the last days. We're living in a time when people really, literally do not know where they're going, and a lot of them don't care. Please stop. Don't live like you can do whatever you want to do and get away with it, because, beloved, you cannot. There's coming a day when we'll all give account. You will stand in judgment before a holy God. And the only plea you have is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. When we put you, your life, in the balance, what do the scales do? Have you experienced the forgiveness of Jesus? Or are you just living to die? Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, how we need you. We are reminded today that our sin has to be dealt with. And Lord, there are so many who are living in complete and utter disregard for you. Lord Jesus, today I pray for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, draw them to you. Convict them of their sin. Give them a willing spirit that they will respond to your mercy and to your grace. Lord, you have done all you can do for us. You have proven your love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Today, Lord, I pray for those in this service who do not know you as their Savior, that today they will throw off the shackles of sin and of Satan, and they will respond to your message by calling upon you, making you their Lord and their Savior. Lord Jesus, to you be all glory and praise and thanksgiving, for you are a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.